141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. At the end of a busy week of transfer news, a Japanese trio, a big move to Everton and an arrival from the States are all done. What's next then? John Souter to Rangers, Martin Boyle to Celtic, or something entirely different? The top flight may be shut down, but there's a huge weekend ahead in the Championship with a Kilmarnock debut for Derek McInnes. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, we've got Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
And all the best to Derek McInnes tomorrow at Queen of the South. Scottish football needs good men like him back in the game. Hamilton Accies went to Queen of the South last weekend and won 3-0. No pressure then, Dell. On you go. Welcome back. And we also need Dick Campbell at Arbroath, still top of the Championship. The manager, 68 years old, and the Ayr United tomorrow. Looking forward to a very good weekend at the end of what's been a very interesting week.
It's been a nice, good start to the transfer window, Kenny. Enough to get us going.
Busy, that's for sure. I think the teams that we thought would be really active, obviously Celtic being one of them, have been really got their business done early, and I'm sure there'll still be more to follow. A lot of rumours now circulating surrounding Rangers as well, potential signings. Again, John Souter, I'm sure, has been a lot of talk about that this week over the last few days. So yeah, it's really interesting, starting to heat up.
0141 951 1025. Pick up the phone, speak to Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller and let them know what you're thinking. In fact, breaking transfer news just as we come on air is that Celtic's Liam Shaw has gone to Motherwell. That was bubbling away for a day or two, but it's been confirmed now. So Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Happy enough to let him go, or one that you would have rather kept in the building? And Motherwell fans, how does that bolster your team midfield? How do you see him fitting in? 0141 951 1025. So really, it's a bit of a blank canvas for you. There's obviously no confirmed transfer news today from Celtic or Rangers. The rumour mill is going. Maybe you want to look back on the business so far. We had a good old discussion about John Souter and Martin Boyle last night. It is a big weekend in the Championship, and we don't get the privilege of looking ahead to the Championship as often as we would like. So fans of Championship clubs, now is your chance. Maybe you sit back night after night, fed up of hearing about the top flight. Well, now is the chance to have your say. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at ClydeSSB. I could not believe it, Kenny Miller. A man who moved more times than I care to mention, only moved once in the January transfer window. Is that right? Is that what we think?
When I quickly ran through it, I think it's only been once. Yep, 2011. I think
so. That was leaving Rangers
to go to Bursaspor. Yeah.
Right. So, well, what was that like? What, everyone always talks about the January being a strange window and a hard time to buy and a hard time to move and all the rest of it. Did it feel any different?
Yeah, it's mid-season. I mean, I was in the midst of a real hot streak that 6 months at Rangers, so it was a lot of questioning. There was a lot of options available at the time. A few things fell through last minute as well. So I think in my mind, I was 31 at the time, I think, and you're looking at thinking you've had such a good year. I was pretty clear I wasn't going to be at Rangers beyond that season at that moment as well. So you've got decisions. Do you stay on and potentially get 30 to 40 mm-hmm. goals, which then you've got options at the end of that, or do you look at what's on the table at that moment at the time? So for me, it was, let's have a look at what's on the table, because there's a lot of chat, there's a lot of things going on in the background, and you've got a set of options to look at. So I just felt it would have been better at that moment. But yeah, so much goes through your mind at that point.
Hugh, another January window, we've not had any bids for you yet, but no, I just wonder if the hefty buyout clause is putting people off.
Well, you've got no sell-on value, so that's a problem.
Huge in today's market, that, you know.
It's a big consideration.
I just wonder if the Celtic fans are interested in that aspect of their club's business. You know, you and Henderson, who I think is a fine young player, going to Hibs until the end of the season on loan, but will sign a 3-year contract after that. Liam Shaw, who's played twice for the first team this season, off to Motherwell.
That's is a loan, that one, I think, yeah, for what it's worth. But
you know, if you're a young man going into Celtic, and there's, you know, talk of Johnny Kenny coming in from Sligo Rovers, striker, £125,000. You'd like to think that other than players coming in from Asia and wherever else Ange Postecoglou has in mind to bring in players, the young element would like to think that they still have a chance of progression to the first team.
I guess they would look at the captain, no, and see that there is one there. If you're good enough and you can get in and take your chance, and James Forrest and the Tierney and etc. that have gone before, Mikey Johnson, Anthony Ralston still bubbling around.
Well, Anthony Ralston is. I'm not sure about Mikey Johnson, but it's just one that intrigues me. I always liked Liam Henderson when he was at Celtic, but he ended up going to Hibs, and after he won a league medal with Celtic, won a Scottish Cup medal with Hibs, and then entered Serie A. So the Henderson family do well.
You could here's one from left field. You could tell us what your team's New Year's resolution is going to be, because I've got a theory, right, that no one really starts one in the first, do they? You give yourself a couple of days grace, and then maybe you go, all right, I'll wait till we're all going back to work or whatever. So this will be the time when they're getting put in place. What would your team's New Year's resolution be? If you're struggling for inspiration, if you think it's a bit quiet on your team's footballing front, you could always get your creative cap on and tell us what your team's New Year's resolution. Easy for me to say. I think I've got Hugh Keevan's teeth in. 01419511025. So pick up the phone and let us know. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. I mean, we are obviously in danger of going over old ground slightly, Kenny, but it's the first time we've had you in since what would be the main standout piece of transfer news from this week would be Nathan Patterson's move to Everton. What have you made of that?
Brilliant move. Good bit of business for the football club, for someone who's got a totally, I think, 26 appearances. To get that level of money for him is an incredible deal. What it does is, as well, I know there's a lot of chat about getting him into the Rangers team and potentially maybe looking at moving on Tavernier. But for me, Tav's still got so much to offer as a footballer at Glasgow Rangers. And I think if that did happen and Nathan eventually eclipsed Tav and we maybe look to move Tav on, I think within 6 months to a year, you would have lost Patterson anyway, because he's always, England will come calling, and he would have moved, and there was a potential you could have lost both players. So I think it's brilliant business. It doesn't disrupt any plans or title pushes in regards to their team and losing a big starting player. It's brilliant for Nathan as well. You know, he's going to get his move, all the potential in the world. He'll get an opportunity to go there and showcase that at the best league in the world.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see a debut in the FA Cup at Hull tomorrow. We will find out tomorrow afternoon. 01419511025. Let's bring in Stevie in Bishop Briggs and see what is on his mind tonight. Stevie.
Hello there, lads. Very good evening to you.
How's it going? You all right?
All right, aye.
Good.
I did speak to you way back at the beginning of the season. I've obviously listened to what's going on with Celtic Rangers, and I said at the beginning, I thought it was going to be a very tight season this season. Really and truly. It was borderline who was going to win it. I'm now going to stick my neck on the line, and this has been honest. Kenny, Hugh, I'm going to predict Celtic are going to win this league this season, but I'm not going to win it by much. I say they'll win it by 3-4 points. And what I'll follow up with, boys, is if Celtic do win this league this season, I will donate £50 to Cash for Kids for you.
Very nice of you. There we go. It's all for a good cause. And give us your thinking, because I think Hugh, in his pre-season predictions, certainly tipped Rangers to win the league. I think Kenny will probably do the same. So it's always good to hear confidence from elsewhere. Stevie, what makes you so confident?
I'll tell you. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce.
All right, Stevie's line's gone a bit wonky. Just when we were going to get
just
to
when
it.
We were going to get the nonsense that was going to be coming out of Stevie's mouth there.
Well, you know, I am on record not only as tipping Rangers to win the league, but saying that I do not believe that Rangers will lose a game between now and the end of the season. And my thinking behind that is that I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's Rangers are better than Steven Gerrard's Rangers in the first part of the season. And in the first part of the season, the first half of the league season, Rangers lost one game. Therefore, I don't think I'm going out on a limb to suggest that they might go from now until the end of the season without losing a game. I think 6 points is already a dangerous deficit for Celtic to deal with. And I think if the game goes ahead on the 2nd of February at Celtic Park between Celtic and Rangers, and Celtic don't win that game, then I'm very much afraid that Stevie will be donating the money.
And if they do, then Stevie will, if they do win it, Stevie will feel more confident. These discussions are difficult, because someone's just going to say, I think Celtic will win it, I think Rangers will win it. You ground in circles. Can we find some sort of common ground, Kenny, in that even if, like you, you don't think Celtic will go on and win it, can we understand where Stevie's confidence to a point is coming from, in the sense that it was a huge rebuild? You're just going to say no, aren't you?
No, because I never got his points. I never got to hear why.
Well, he's back.
Let's get him. Let's hear it.
Right, Stevie, tell us why. Why are you so confident?
Why am I so confident? I'll tell you, because Ange is doing what I think good transfer deals. He's going to Asia, etc. And you've already seen the players that he's bringing in. So I think he builds a squad round about these players. I think Celtic could possibly win the league. But as I said, boys, I'm not saying they're going to win it by 9-10 points. This is going to be the closest season you'll have seen for a long time. I'm going to say it will be down to maybe 3-4 points.
Yeah, we've not had a close one in a while. I think
the difference between fact and supposition. We know that Rangers are 6 points ahead of Celtic. That is a fact. Mm. What Stevie is giving us at the moment is supposition. He is supposing that the three new signings from Asia, and no matter who else Ange Postecoglou may bring in between now and the end of January, will go ahead. But it's supposition.
To be fair, everything is what Stevie wants to predict who's going to win. You're telling us who predict. You've also said that if Celtic lose, you know, to Rangers on the 2nd of February, there's an element of everyone trying to predict the future here. So let's not be too...
Fact is they're 6 points behind, and that is already a dangerous deficit.
Yeah, but I think the obvious counter would be that you can't, it's not impossible to win the league from there. Obviously, it's not even close.
Absolutely not. I've watched Celtic do it before. However, I happen to think that Rangers are overall more settled and have greater strength and depth.
I was just googling the meaning of supposition, to be honest with you, when you were going on there. So now I can see it, and absolutely right. Yeah, you know, 6 points a big gap. Like Hugh says, Rangers have lost one game. By the way, never lost a game last year in the league. So the chances are they're not going to lose too many between now and the end of the season. And that also goes along with Celtic coming to win every game. So that's not going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen. We're also assuming that these signings are going to have the same impact as what a Kyoga is, which, by the way, will not happen either. He's hit the ground running so much, there's no way that these guys are going to impact the team the way he has.
Yeah, but that's a high bar, isn't it, though? That's a high bar. Even if they went 75% of what he's done, it would be decent, would it not?
It would be okay, aye. But will it be enough to win the league? Probably not. Mm. Probably not.
What do you make of that, Stevie, in terms of, you know, Celtic were always the chasing pack. Even the most optimistic Celtic fans in the summer probably accepted there was a gap to make up, and there was all the upheaval. You know, it was going to be difficult. Is there any part of, you know, Rangers being more settled and already being in front that dents your confidence at all?
No, there isn't. Rangers are doing well. Can't take it away from them. They are doing well. They're doing better now than they were doing under Stevie Gerrard, who I thought was a good manager for Rangers. But I understand what you're saying, guys, right? But, Hugh, I'm not disagreeing with you. Maybe I'm not disagreeing, but I'm not disagreeing with you, right? How you can come out, Hugh, right, and say something like Rangers will only lose a game is unbelievable, okay? You're saying Celtic will not lose games, but Rangers will not lose a game. I don't think that's true.
When I say that, people think, he said that Rangers are going to win every game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't think Rangers will lose a game between now and the end of the season. I don't think that's unbelievable, Stevie, to use your word. You said that was unbelievable to say that. They only lost one game in the first half of the season, and they've only lost one league game in over 50.
Can I be honest with you, right? Because I feel like I've been on that journey. When you said that, I sort of thought, there he goes. There's another Keevan's prediction. He's gone in two-footed. Yeah. And then even I allowed myself to take a breath. And whether you think it will happen or not is maybe not the point. It's a team that's lost one league game in, what is it, 50-something? Somebody can tell me. So it's not, at this point, a completely outrageous prediction. I've heard you make worse. And by the way, they might lose the first game back and everyone will phone up and remind you.
I am not going out on a limb here. We are talking about a team who did not lose a league game last season. In the entirety of last season, did not lose a league game. and who, over the course of this season, have not lost any more than one game. And under Van Bronckhorst are improved on the Gerrard version of Rangers from the first half of this season.
So they've lost 1 in 58 and you're now predicting them to lose none in 18, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I repeat, I did not say they will win every one of those
Steve
games.
Steve acknowledges that. Alright, let's bring in Ross, who's a Celtic fan. What have you made of the window so far, Ross, and how the second half of the season looks?
It's been a good start to the window, I think. With the three Japanese signings, the only issue I've got with them is if, say, we're in the old Firm game and all three of them going in the national duty with Kyogo, I think Ange Postecoglou is going to build his team around them. So if all four of them then go, that's just buying your team away.
This will be a recurring problem. And it could be for Rangers as well, who three Nigerian players. Celtic now have four Japanese players. This will become a recurring problem because they have cup competitions that we know nothing of. And periodically this will happen to Celtic and to Rangers if the Nigerian trio are called away. I'm very much afraid that you just have to go on with it. And Ange Postecoglou knows that to be the case. If you sign international players and they have different international calendars from the one that you are used to, well, that's just the way it is.
I sometimes wonder, Kenny, if we're a bit narrow-minded when it comes to this stuff because we're just not used to it, and there will always be, you know, one or two high-profile examples. By the way, of course it's not ideal if you're going to lose like three or four of your good players, but when you listen to Ange Postecoglou, who comes from the other side of the world and has dealt with the sort of different football calendar, he seems to suggest that, you know, shrug of the shoulders and just get on with it. I wonder if it's because we're not that used to it. We think it's, put it this way, is it enough to put you off signing a player? He certainly doesn't think so.
No, it's different. I would flip it a little bit and say, well, our calendar is just normal for us, you know, and there's been complaints about the number of games over December and things, but, you know, they know what they're getting into when they're signing the players that have got those types of international calendars.
Look at Salah and Mane, and they were talking at the top level down there.
Big teams are going to be losing big players. It's as simple as that, and they're going to have to manage it. They have to get through it, and they have to find a way to win games, because otherwise league titles could be gone. If you don't deal with it and you don't put the right results out in the next kind of 5-6 weeks, then the league title could be gone. So you need to find a way to deal with it. Listen, Celtic up until now have not had those players, you know, and they've still maintained a challenge. So they're going to have to just do without them
early
for that period of time.
Kenny, Celtic beat Real Betis early in the season with an unrecognisable Celtic side. So all credit to them for that night against the Spaniards. And if February 2nd means that Celtic are short of their Japanese players, then Ange Postecoglou will get on with it.
It's a fair point, Ross. Thank you. We're a bit short on time. That was Ross in Drumchapel, 01419511025. Good time to call. You could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025 on the phones, or it's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. A bit of a blank canvas for you tonight, whether it's your predictions for the second half of the season, your thoughts on the transfer window so far, your wish list for the remainder of the transfer window, or even your team's New Year's resolution. Don't think we've had any of them in yet. You can get them over to us, 01419511025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I did say the breaking transfer news tonight, if you like, was that Celtic's Liam Shaw has just confirmed a move to Motherwell on loan till the end of the season, about 20 minutes or so ago. So any thoughts on that? Championship fans out there, come on, I said it at the top of the show, you must sit there frustrated every night because your league doesn't get much of a look in when the top flight's up and running. Well, it's all about you this weekend, centre stage for the Championship. Why not pick up the phone and let us know what is on your mind? 01419511025. We've got William, who's a Rangers fan, on the line. What have you got for us tonight, William?
Hello, hello guys, happy New Year, Steve.
How's William? It going, you alright?
Yeah, I was listening to Stevie's point, the Celtic fan there. Right, I'm going to crunch some numbers. I want to get Kenny's Hughes view on this, right? And Kenny came with a good point. Right, we're sitting at 51, Celtic's sitting at 45. If you crunch the numbers, right, Celtic, if they win every game, they get to 99, right? which, as Kenny says, is a stretch. It's just, they've got three Old Firm games, plus they've got all the brutal fixtures. They've got Motherwell away, Hibs away, Hearts away, Livingston away, Aberdeen away, right? And I'm thinking, right, as Hugh says, I think we can afford to maybe lose a couple, draw a couple, and I think we can get to 90-odd points. That means Celtic's only got maybe one or two mistakes in them in the 18 games. It could happen, Celtic could win every game, but it's a stretch. I just think it's a tall order, you know?
I admire everyone's confidence at these sort of forecasts, but, I mean, all going to plan. Well, in fact, the game will go ahead regardless. I'm getting distracted by the thoughts of crowds. In 3 weeks' time, the gap might be next to nothing, or yeah, it might be stretched. So I get why people want, but talking about 99 points and 90 points or whatever it is, that's tough. That's tough to forecast because, like I said, yeah, they're going to meet each other soon. So you're looking at a potential swing in Celtic's favour, or by that time Rangers could be off in the distance.
Yeah, William talks about brutal fixtures. Well, you know, there'll be equally brutal fixtures for Rangers. You know, they do have to go to Celtic Park on the 2nd of February with no Rangers supporters there to help them, and they do have to go to Aberdeen, so there's a brutal element to their fixtures, the same as Celtic's fixtures. I go back to my basic point. I think they're much improved under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and they do have strength and depth which Celtic are working on. That's why Ange Postecoglou has a very busy January ahead of him, and he started by getting in the three Japanese players. The fixtures are no more brutal for Celtic than they are for Rangers. It's simply my belief that Rangers, in terms of the squad, in terms of momentum, are better off than Celtic at the moment.
That next game, though, the next meeting, Kenny, and that's notwithstanding what could happen even before that, but that could be massive, couldn't it? Because if 6 points sounds like a lot, three doesn't. And you've got a Celtic team at the moment who haven't beaten Rangers in a long time. We're not only talking about this season, it's been quite a while to go and get over that hurdle. Because remember, Rangers had to do that a couple of seasons ago. It was like the first step. Can you win one of those head-to-heads? Psychologically, the difference it would make to the league table, this next one looks massive, doesn't it?
It is massive, and Rangers will approach it as Celtic will, wanting to win the game of football. What it does, though, if the game turns out to be a stalemate and a draw, Rangers probably come away with it far happier. There's no getting away
from
that.
Home as well. They would,
yeah,
they?
There's yeah, no getting this. And like, seeing these games, it doesn't matter if you're home or away, you need to go and win. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. It's an Old Firm game, home or away, you go to win the game. But if it was a draw, Rangers come out happy, their 6-point lead's intact, and I don't think there would be too many who would be unhappy with the result, no matter what the performance is. I think Celtic need to win it. I think they need to win it if they want to go and win. Because I do believe, unlike you, I can't see Rangers losing too many. I'm not saying they won't drop points. I just think Celtic at this moment, they've got that 0-0 draw against Livingston. They've got that draw, I can't even remember, St Mirren. They've got the St Mirren, where St Mirren are in turmoil and they've got a lot of players missing. And is the game going to go ahead in St Mirren and go and grind out a point? You know, so I just think that results in them at the moment, that there's, I don't know what the, I think it's maybe 4 or 5 games that Celtic maybe have won in a row over the course of the season. I don't think that's enough in terms of winning runs of games to win leagues.
I guess the hope would be, Hugh, and it has to be that, I can't pretend to know either. The hope would be that the Japanese trio plus whatever else comes in gives Celtic the strength of squad Ange Postecoglou wants, to feel that he can avoid any more or many more of the nil-nils at St Mirren. Mm-hmm. That would be the aim, I'm sure.
You know, Celtic lost to Livingston, drew at home to Livingston, looked the gift horse in the mouth when they got the last minute penalty at home against Livingston, had an awful night against St Mirren, and they've dropped 7 points out of 9, and it's been so costly for them. They could be on top of the league by 1 point at the moment. So a lot of onus is now on the shoulders of the Japanese players, because they've come into such a fanfare of trumpets, and people believe that they'll all be as good as Kyogo Furuhashi.
I'm not sure, to be fair. I think most people that phoned this show have said something along the lines of, if they're even nearly as good, or if they're half as good, then they'll be maybe better than what's already. Because the Celtic not simply need, I'm not saying any numbers, I'm not saying numbers for the sake of it, but that they have injury problems.
Yeah.
COVID's never going away. They just need reinforcements, don't they? You get away with them not being as good as Kyogo, surely.
I keep going back to the point about Furuhashi. There's a mindset that if Furuhashi plays, Celtic will be okay. And if Furuhashi doesn't play, then Celtic won't be okay. So you have to have Maeda, if it's to be him, there to give you extra insurance and assurance that Furuhashi going out need not necessarily be a real blow.
Let's thank William for his call and move on to Michael, who's a Rangers fan in Alexandria. What's on your mind tonight, Michael?
Hello, good evening. Good evening, panel, and Happy New Year again.
Thank
in
you,
America.
Thank you.
It's all a good time. My point's to Hugh Keevans, just to kind of back Hugh a wee bit. I listened to the caller, the one of the callers there saying, how can you see Hugh that Rangers could go on and win a league? You never said that Rangers would go on and win a league. I'm a Rangers supporter, but you never said. What you said was you couldn't see Rangers losing between now and the end of the season.
Correct.
You know, so obviously the caller's no listen to your point, right? You know what I mean?
Well, so, Hugh does think Rangers will go on and win the league, so yeah. I'm not sure that matters too much.
I think people are getting hung up on this Rangers will not lose a game. That is not to say Rangers will win game.
I do think people get that as well. You're saying they're going to go unbeaten, or you think they will. Yeah, you think they'll go unbeaten.
Yeah, I do think that if you had said right in July, if you had said right when we get to January,
having played 20 games, Rangers will have lost
a 6-point lead. How would you feel about that? You couldn't possibly think, well, I'd settle for that. You know, we'll come back. You know,
really, I'm not sure. I don't know if you've, and I get everything from the callers. If you go back to the mess that the manager inherited and how late it was, and all the good players that left, I think some Celtic fans would have settled for 6 points and a trophy.
Oh, you can take the trophy out of the equation, because I'm talking about the league, because that's the most important thing to the Celtic fans and the Rangers fans.
I know, I get it. Look, this is Glasgow and second is nowhere, and you hear all these things and beat your chest over it. But what was it, 25? How many points was it last season?
Yeah, 25.
In the end up, 6 points at the halfway. I think some Celtic fans would have taken that.
I'm not taking anything away from Ange Postecoglou. He inherited a train wreck, and he has done an excellent job of getting a whole support on side. They love him, and that in itself is a major feat. But along the way, he's been hampered by the fact that he had to negotiate the first half of the season with a squad that was clearly under strength when compared to Rangers squad. And he's playing catch up in every way. He's playing catch up in terms of squad numbers and strength, and he's playing catch up in terms of points. I repeat, right now, who would you rather be?
Oh, of course. Oh, come on, of course that's the case. So I think that's two very different things. The point that, or the counterpoint I'm trying to make, Kenny, is everybody predicted Rangers to win the league at the start of the season. Everybody. Everybody in this show, everybody on any show I watched, everybody thought that it was going to be not only Rangers would win it, but they'd win it comfortably, because they won it comfortably last season. They haven't lost anyone. Celtic are a mess. So I'm not saying 6 points is desirable, but it must be close to palatable for some Celtic fans out there.
I think it will be, based on everything that we've said, the state of the squad.
Because context is important, you can't just ignore it.
Of course it is, but it's a dangerous game when you start to accept these, because I went through it.
Sure.
I've been through it. See, when you start to accept things, and that's why it's really important that the man's never drop. And I know they'll never drop it. Like you say, it's Glasgow, we need to win, we need to do this. But sometimes that creeps in, a wee bit in acceptance. Oh, well, that's all right. 6 points
standards,
is all right.
I think standards did they drop at Rangers when you were getting into that mindset?
100% they dropped. And I even heard it with fans. Ah, but we just want to get second. We just want, no, that's not what. In Glasgow, it can't be that. And you know, it's a dangerous game, because when you accept a drop in the standards, that becomes a normal. You know, so 6 points, is it absolute insurmountable for Celtic?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. They can win the league. There's no getting away from that. I just think what you've said is, you look at the facts, you look at the evidence, you look at the squads, you look at the runs of games without a certain loss, or one game in 58 or almost 60 games. I just think that Rangers, and I say this at the start with four, I think they'll be too strong. And that I remain, I don't care who they've signed this transfer, and I still remain that Rangers will be too strong.
To spin that slightly another way, because you've lived it and I've not, and you felt standards drop, so I get that. But after that then, once Steven Gerrard came in and once Rangers were on the way back, do you not have to accept, and do you not have to take it step by step at a time? Like I said, for instance, Rangers had to say, right, let's finish second, and that had to be the first step. Then it had to be cut the gap, and then it had to be beat Celtic just once. Just beat them once. Now I get that you can say that that's a drop in standards, but ultimately, if you've got a long road to go, you need to take one step at a time.
Yeah, of course. Listen, it is. It's a process, and you need to hit the milestones, and you need to get closer. Again, close the gap. I don't like, because that you're judging yourself based on,
yeah, because the league can change.
Something else is, yeah. So of course, so for instance, it's 25 points last year, but Rangers were unbeaten. That's not happened this year. So probably, it's probably not going to be as many points this year. And you would expect Celtic, if you judge yourself based on you and the progress you make, well, Celtic will look to progress on probably the points that they had last year. It was a really disappointing year. 77 points, it was poor.
And the strength of the league can change, can't it? I do always think that can be flimsy.
And it has. Yep. So it's not about what somebody else has achieved. It's about judging yourself and the progress that you want to be making each year. So as I said, I think Celtic, they're going through that same transition process, and they do need to hit certain marks. I still think, though, that you don't ever want to accept it. But like you said, even my mindset sometimes when I was in it is, let's just stay on the coattails. You know, stay on the coattails. Yeah. And I think at 6 points, you're on the coattails.
Yeah. Michael, what about the transfer business? I mean, we've heard a lot in the last couple of days, and it seems to be picking up a bit more speed today again about John Souter. Is that one you think would be a good idea for Rangers? Is that one you would like to see happen?
Well, see to be truthful, this is to the whole panel, to Kearney Muller, Hugh Keevans and yourself, right? Mm. To be honest, we brought in the boy Sand for the MLS league, and obviously he's a young boy, which is good, and I think he'll do a job for us for Ibrox. Also, John Souter has always been a one that I've kind of liked, especially when he was with the Hearts. I like him because he's strong, he's physical, he does a good job. You know, nothing. He does what he's there meant to do, as like a centre half or whatever it is. Also, as well, I just seen the day about dinner time, new time on the sports news, that the boy for PSG, I seen Rangers Giovanni's trying to maybe coax him to Ibrox as well. He's only 21, but Barcelona sniffing about. But I think there'll still be at least another two or three coming in, maybe two at a push. But the thing is, and my main concern is this: I still believe at this late stage in the transfer window that Connor Goldston will still be a Rangers player come after the transfer window.
Is that why the John Souter one seems to be? It's certainly an interesting debate, Kenny, because you assess, is he a good player? Most people think yes. You then look at the contract situation; it's coming to an end. You've then got Connor Goldston's future. Whether it happens or not at this stage, that's why there's so much speculation, because it seems like a lot of the parts are there.
Yeah, it does. It fits. I think it fits for probably all parties at this moment. John's had a fantastic year. He's had a few horrific injuries over the last few years, but he's came back strong. His performance levels got very good. He's an international player and performed very, very well at that level as well. He's got 6 months to go in this. I said, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? It's good value. You know, there's really, really good value. I think the risk factor in that signing is very, very low based on we know what he can do. Mm. He's played in our country. He's played against us. He had a fantastic game against Rangers 2-3 weeks ago. He's an international player, so we see him at that level. The risk in the signing is very low. It's not going to be, again, Hearts can demand all they want, but he's got 6 months, you're losing him for nothing, and they might be happy to lose him for nothing in the summer rather than take a smaller fee at the moment. But if they think him leaving is really going to impact their team, which he will, they may want to just prefer to lose him in the summer.
The old cynic in me has looked at the Connor Goldson situation for weeks and weeks and weeks. I no longer believe that he wants to stay at Rangers. I think he would like to get out in this window. And I think Souter, who has had horrendous injuries and has shown tremendous moral courage to come back from it all, I think Souter would fit at Rangers. I just don't believe Connor Goldson could have sorted out his future at Rangers a long time ago if he had wanted to.
It might be old cynicism, or you might be correct. We will find out. Thank you, Michael. This is a great time to call, because we're going to take a breather, and you could be up next. 01419511025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well. I've also had a message from Roger Hanna, who makes a very good point. We'd really need to worry for the safety of this show going forward, because Liam Shaw and Liam Grimshaw in the same Motherwell midfield, he says, will frazzle Daza's head. So Gordon DL is going to have to be right on it, which he never is, to try and not make that mistake. Liam Grimshaw.
Wait, do I call him Luke Shaw?
Oh, yeah, he did that last night as well, didn't he? Yeah, that could be problematic. Always felt that, because we said it at the time, Kenny, this is not being Captain Hindsight about it. The Liam Shaw one in particular, had a bit of sympathy for him, because who signed him? Neil Lennon had left Celtic and John Kennedy was in charge, and there was no director of football or head of recruitment, and the chief executive changed, and he came in, he had a pre-contract, he was there in the summer. He's played, I think, a game and a bit under Ange Postecoglou. Does it just feel like the right idea to just get him game time and in the league, of course, in the same division, and take it from there?
Yeah, I think so. It's a real difficult set of circumstances he's probably had to encounter coming to a new club at that time. So the good thing is now he's got a move out. He's got a chance to go and play football with a team that are doing really, really well at the moment. So, he gets a chance to showcase his abilities as a player that he's not had a lot in the first half of the season. And he can maybe find something else off the back of that. Or if he goes and does really, really well with Motherwell, they might want to keep him on, you know. So it's the best thing for, I think, all parties, that he goes and gets some regular football.
Let's bring in Dominic, who's a Celtic fan from Rutherglen, and see what's on his mind. Dominic.
Hi, Gordon, Hugh and Kenny. Happy 80s.
Thank you. How's it going? You well?
I'm well. I've got a couple of quick points to make to Hugh Keevans, if that's okay.
Go for it.
First one being, Hugh, just regarding your comment, of Rangers going unbeaten, your opinion's fine, as is everyone's. I just think, should you not have waited to the end of the transfer window, taking a bit of stock and looked at the depth of the squads at the end of the window before making a comment like that?
Well, first of all, let me address that point. I am making my assertion, prediction, call it what you will, based on what I have seen over 20 games. And that has nothing to do with who Rangers bring in, and it has nothing to do with who Celtic bring in. I am saying that I don't think that Rangers will lose a game. I think they're much improved under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and they may very well add to the squad, and it doesn't concern me who comes in.
Change the strength of your prediction. I'm stretching the hypothetical here, but if Joe Aribo and Ryan Kent go for money, you know, for deals that you couldn't possibly resist, the strength of your prediction would change, would it not?
The transfer of Nathan Patterson to Everton, for me, means that no one will go.
Yeah,
no,
listen,
in this window.
I get that, but I think Dominic's more general point is that you're saying that nothing that happens in January could change your opinion. I just wonder how that's possible.
Well, because I believe that what I saw up until the end of the old year convinced me that they will not lose a game,
Dominic,
between now and the end of the season.
What do you think?
Listen, opinions are opinions and everybody's entitled to their own. I just think, a sensible man would have took stock at the end of the transfer window, and then you could have take a step back, look at the depth of each squad, and made a call then, instead of right now when the transfer window's not finished.
By the end of the transfer window, games will have been played. I'm not interested in the transfer window. And to suggest that because I think a certain thing does not make me a sensible man anymore is a weak argument. I went on what I had seen to the end of the old year and before the transfer window opened. I am not interested in the transfer window. I believe that what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has at Ibrox at the moment is good enough to go between now and the end of the season without losing a game.
Predictions are hopeless anyway. I don't know why everyone's getting so worked up about it. Dominic, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, I'm sure you know. Say that again.
One more quick point to
Hughes. As many as you like, take it away.
Celtic were playing Hibs in the League Cup final. We went 1-0 down. Hugh hadn't even finished talking, saying that this will be the only goal of the Cup final and Celtic had equalised.
I did not say this will be. I said this could be.
Oh, now we're getting pedantic.
No. That's not being pedantic.
Well, obviously it could have been, but let's be honest. You said it because you thought it was going to be the only goal of the final. Otherwise, you would never have said it.
But that's a game is in progress. You say things and then it blows up in your face.
Kenny, you have missed it. It was one of the all-time classics.
Yeah. Like, but listen,
Kyogo's is going through on goal, but we can't quite see it, and Hugh's saying it could be the only goal of the final.
Hugh's defence, up until that moment, it looked like one goal could have won the game. Because the first half was dire.
Having shot Dominic down, Dominic then comes back with having, first of all, insinuated I was not a sensible man. He then thinks, right, I'll get him before I go on that moment. Listen, there'll be plenty of moments like that, Dominic. I've been making mistakes like that for a long, long time, and I'll continue to make mistakes like that for a long, long time. But you keep on saying opinions are all very well, and that's we're all entitled to them. I've given you my opinion. I stand by it. I don't think Rangers will lose a game between now and the end of the season. And Dominic, I look forward to your call. If Rangers do win a game, I shall stand here and wipe the egg off my face all day long, but you'll need to wait until it happens first.
Dominic, I can't be sure, but I think you've rattled him. I think he's got under his skin. It sounds like it.
And I hope he'll be there to take my call when I let him hear all about it.
Well, how have you got a notion that I might be...
Oh, Hugh, honestly, it's Friday night.
I think
night,
it was a sensible man comment that's really relevant. It's not about the opinion, it's
Dominic,
a sensible
I will
man.
Come in.
I'm now scared to read out Paul's tweet, who says, I don't think we can make decisions on who wins the league until we see what the final squads are at the end of January. Who stays, who leaves, then we can assess. But there's no mention of sensible man in there. Okay. So he's getting away with it.
Games played before this transfer window closes, Celtic start back on the 17th of January, and the following day the rest will pile in. There'll be games played between now and the end of the transfer window, so you can't say, wait till the end of the transfer window and then we'll assess. There will be games played before the end of the transfer window.
I'm not made you make that prediction though. You're saying that as if you had to.
Which prediction?
Oh, whatever one. I've lost track about Rangers going unbeaten.
I said that before.
You did.
The
you
transfer
said it a couple
window
of weeks ago.
Opened.
Yes, you did. You did indeed. What about the Japanese trio, Dominic, the likes of Ewan Henderson, Liam Shaw? There's clearly an attempt here for Ange Postecoglou to get his players in and also manage the size of the squad, isn't there?
Correct. These boys will need time to adapt, and if they can adapt as well as Kyogo did, then everything's looking up. But listen, you never know. It's time will tell. I mean, everyone's different. They might not all adapt as well as Kyogo did, so it's only going to take time. And there's going to be a lot of tweaking the team here from now to the end of the season until we find it. But boys like Shaw and Henderson, I know Henderson's went away. I'd seen a lot of potential in the boy, but boys like Shaw, they kind of sit and warm the bench forever, so I think that's a good move to get him away and get some football.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Hugh Keevans, we saw him, like I said, Betis. Yeah. I think 10 minutes was it against St Mirren. And Ewan Henderson, I'll tap into Kenny's expertise on this. There are loads of good players at times at Rangers and Celtic, Kenny. But being good and being good enough to go and impact that starting 11 all the time is perhaps two different things. Is players like Ewan Henderson, do they just reach that ceiling at times?
I think it comes a point where if you look at the Old Firm over the last 20 years, there is not many. Like when you're talking, Celtic had that golden re-edge there when Tierney's there, McGregor's there, and James Forrest is there playing at the top of his game. And in my opinion, those three academy products were arguably their best players. Rangers have not had so much joy. Nathan Patterson's obviously came through in the last few years, and he's moved on already for a wonderful amount of money. And it's a really, really good deal for the football club. But yeah, there is a number of other players who, well, their careers will involve being a Celtic or a Rangers player, and they will have loan deal after loan deal as seasons go by. And it'll come a point where I think for the player and the club for that matter, because the clubs look after them to that extent, that they need to go on and try and test themselves with regular first team football with a potentially smaller club, and go and show that they're going to be able to have a career at that level or go and build a career somewhere else. So I think it's a good bit of business for Sean Maloney, to be honest with you. He's identified him. He'll definitely have known all about him before he's even entered into the Hibs job, and it's a signing for the future, one with huge potential.
Thank you, Dominic. You and Hugh can do this again some other time.
Beat Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
This has been the worst week in the history.
You say this every week.
No, you're wrong.
And I mean it this week.
Because there was a week on the Friday night after the Pundits had lost 4-0.
Oh, so this is the second time it's happened.
When I...
Right.
Saved their dignity.
Oh, that must have been desperate stages. Well, we're in that boat again. The Pundits have lost 4 games in a row. We need Hugh Keevans or Kenny Miller to save the day. But if you want to make it a whitewash for the listeners, now is the time. 0141 951 1025. And you need your call to be in before 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Call Robert Wheels, your diamond cut alloy wheel refurb specialist.
This is
Clyde One.
Streaming on thousands of smart devices from Sonos to Amazon Echo. Play Clyde One. Available in the car, on the radio, on the app, and at home hands-free. Just ask your smart speaker to play Clyde One.
Want a real deal on your next car? Right now at Arnold Clark, we're giving you an extra £750 on your part exchange. And when you buy any used car, we're giving you a 2-year service plan absolutely free. That's a deal you don't want to miss. The real deal is on now at Arnold Clark. See arnoldclark.com.
People's Postcode Lottery's biggest ever prize pot has landed, with £220 million of prizes to be won this year. In our February draws, players in one postcode area will win a share of an incredible £7.9 million. Enter your postcode before midnight on the 20th of January to play. The next door we knock on could be yours. PPL Managed Lotteries on behalf of good causes, 18 plus, conditions apply, play responsibly. Not available in Northern Ireland.
I run a decorating business. My New Year's resolution? Improve the look of my bottom line. On the 1st of January, the rules changed on submitting customs declarations. Now, if you're bringing materials in from the EU, you have to declare them when they come into the country. Fine. I told the team, let's crack on. I want happy customers, not hold-ups at customs. To keep your business moving, visit gov.uk/importgoodsintouk.
I guarantee you want to hear this. J&W Carpet. Because if you're looking for a new carpet, J&W are guaranteed to be the cheapest in Scotland, or they'll refund double the difference. And with over 17,000 rolls and over 30,000 roll ends, you're guaranteed to find one you love. See jwcarpets.com for T's and C's.
At ScotRail, we're doing all we can to keep the railway safe in challenging circumstances. Enhanced cleaning procedures continue on our trains and in stations. Please play your part by wearing a face covering throughout your journey, unless you are exempt. We've introduced a revised timetable, so before you travel, double-check the latest journey information on the ScotRail app or at scotrail.co.uk. Always follow the latest government guidance. Let's play our part and travel together safely.
January can make you feel like you're in low power mode. But with BT, instead of laying low, it's time to power up. Not only can you get our superfast fibre for just £24.99 a month with free setup, you get it all with our big three of superb speed, strength and security. So power up and supercharge your broadband by 20th of January. Super. Join BT today. 24-month contract. Broadband only. New customers. CPI plus 3.9% increase each March. £33.99 from month 25. Terms apply.
At Argos, grab a great deal in our winter sale now on. What are you waiting for? Save on thousands of top products from furniture to jewellery and loads more. Life's here. Be ready. Argos. Sale ends 18th of January. Selected lines. Conditions apply. Subject to availability.
Clyde One.
On your smart speaker,
mobile,
and your radio.
Across Glasgow and the West.
This
is Clyde One.
Around 6 in 10 hospital patients with COVID were admitted because of the virus. That's what new data from Public Health Scotland shows. It looked at recent cases in Glasgow and Grampian and found the other 40% were being treated for other conditions before testing positive. Here's Health Secretary Hamza Youssef.
It doesn't actually matter in the sense that the infection prevention and control measures are the same whether you're there because or with COVID. And that means that there is an additional strain then put on the health service. And of course, there's an impact on the health service. Regardless of whether you're there because or with COVID.
While Public Health Professor Linda Bald says there's also growing evidence about the effectiveness of vaccines.
In the second wave, around 12% of people who tested positive might have ended up in hospital. That then declined when we got vaccines rolled out to 4 to 5% when we got into the autumn. And now it's even lower than that.
Next tonight, an optician who sexually assaulted two patients, one at a house in the Jordan Hill area of Glasgow, has been ordered to pay them compensation. Ian Jordan from County Durham was sentenced today and was also told he'll be supervised for 2 years and on the sex offenders register for 5. Officers are asking for your help to find a missing 19-year-old who could be in Glasgow or Paisley. Christina Lawson was last seen in Dollar on the 27th of December. Sir Sidney Poitier, the first black man to win a Best Actor Oscar, has died at the age of 94. The legendary Hollywood star made history at the Academy Awards in 1964, appearing in dozens of films and TV shows afterwards. Now, Novak Djokovic has thanked people around the world for their support as he awaits the result of his appeal to being refused entry into Australia. The world tennis number one has had his visa revoked over complications surrounding his COVID vaccination status. Djokovic's mother has been speaking at a rally in Belgrade to support her son.
He said that he's okay, but I'm not so sure. But he's mentally very stable and he's waiting. That's what he can.
Weather.
With the Clyde One app. Download it now and take us with you on the go.
Dry and clear with a risk of ice tonight. Rain becoming heavier by morning. Lows of freezing. That's the latest. I'm Colette McGonagall.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025 on the phones. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Lots of discussion, lots of lively discussion tonight, I must say. I was anticipating a quiet Friday night. It's been anything but. As we kind of take stock of the transfer window, reflect on what's been and look ahead to what's to come in the second half of the season. So if you want to agree or disagree with what you've heard so far, pick up the phone and let us know. I'm still looking for you fans of the Championship. Come on, we don't often get to give you the spotlight that you deserve, and tonight is that night. We are out and about at the grounds tomorrow in the Championship, so pick up the phone and let's talk the second top flight in Scotland. We'll do this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's not Beat the Pundit anymore, it's Beat the Caller. That's the challenge for you two, because the pundits have been shocking this week. It's 4-0 to the listeners. Can we make it 5 for the first time ever? Jamie's a Celtic fan in London. How's it going, Jamie?
Not too bad, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Extra pressure for you though, Jamie, because usually it's the pundits that are under pressure, but you are looking to make it 5 out of 5 for the listeners. Can you handle that pressure?
Well, I'm already too nervous, so I'm hoping so.
No, don't be. Kevin has actually sent us a tweet in to say, is there any truth in the rumour that the cash call budget has been cut to facilitate the amount of balls the pundits have been giving away this year? That's a good theory, and I'll tell you what, I'm looking at Jamie's address. Can we afford the extra postage to London? I genuinely don't think so.
I'll get the grandkids to nip up from Brighton.
That's true, you could do that and stop off on the train on the way back. Right, toss the coin, Jamie. Heads it will be Hugh Evans, and tails it will be Kenny Miller. Oh, it's the pressure on the old soldier. It's Hugh Evans up against Jamie from London. So let's give Hugh some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he can't steal your answers. Jamie, 30 seconds. Just answer as many questions right as you can, and you are more than welcome to pass and move on if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Let's go. 30 seconds starts now. Cameron Carter-Vickers is on loan to Celtic from which club?
Tottenham Hotspur.
Who did Rangers play in the opening game of this season?
Livingston.
Which top flight team has the lowest goal difference?
St Johnson.
The top scorer in the Scottish Championship plays for which team?
Inverness.
Which English side did Derek McInnes formerly manage?
Birmingham.
What Scottish side is nicknamed the Dunhamers?
Pass.
Who won the Scottish Championship in 2020? Take your time. Who won the Scottish Championship in 2020?
Habs.
Okay, let's bring back Hugh Keevans. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Would you have to really wander about the
show? I was leaning on a wall.
Oh, right, okay. 30 seconds starts now. Cameron Carter-Vickers is on loan to Celtic from which club?
Spurs.
Who did Rangers play in the opening game of this season?
Libby.
Which top flight team has the lowest goal difference?
Rangers.
The top scorer in the Scottish Championship plays for which team?
Inverness.
Which English side did Derek McInnes formerly manage?
Bristol City.
Which Scottish side has the nickname the Dunhamers?
Queen of the South.
Who won the Scottish Championship in 2020?
Hearts.
And I don't think we started it. I was just going to say and, so we'll just leave it there. Jamie, what's the verdict?
I think he's done me. I'm sure as I said Hibs, I knew it was Hearts.
I wouldn't be so sure. Let's find out. Carter Vickers is on loan from Spurs. You both got it. I was quite impressed with you both here, just instantly knowing that it was Livy Rangers played at. I find those ones quite hard to just pluck out of nowhere, Kenny.
That was a big call, yeah.
They both got it, and they both got it right, so it was 2-2. Jamie, I don't know whether to be full of admiration for Hugh's honesty or be embarrassed at his lack of creativity here, because the league table is on the wall behind him. All he had to do was turn around and see who the lowest goal difference is.
Have you seen these glasses?
Not only did you not do it, you said weirdly that Rangers have got the lowest goal difference.
I panicked.
What happened there? I can tell.
Yeah, it was a panicked answer.
It was Dundee though, Jamie, so you weren't right either, I'm afraid. The top scorer in the Championship plays for, now you both went Inverness, you were both wrong. It's Michael McKenna at Arbroath. He's got 12. Great story. I'm sure he's been there all through the divisions as well, and is now top scorer in the Championship. He's going to have to, of course, chip in more since Falkirk cruelly took Anton Dowds back from his loan spell.
Shameful.
Terrible, honestly. Derek McInnes formerly managed Bristol City, I'm afraid. Jamie Hugo's in front. The Dunhamers is Queen of the South. He goes even further in front. Scottish Championship in 2020, incidentally.
United.
Dundee United.
Oh, was it?
It was. It was indeed. And I'm afraid, Jamie, the listeners' run comes to an end. You got two. You were up and running. I thought you were on to a winner, but the old man showed great strength. Again, he's pointing to the name on the back of his cardigan, and he's done you 4-2. Hard lines.
Oh, well, all the best.
Good man. Thank you, Jamie. You were a good sport. An unlikely hero for the second time. Just when the listeners needed someone to step up and show what the pundits were made of, you did it.
The dignity of Super Scoreboard rested on my shoulders.
Your predictions might be rubbish, but you're good at winning at Beat the Pundit when you have to.
Got it in one.
Honestly.
Big score as well, was it? Was that
4-2.
No, it was more than that. You got more than that, Hugh.
No. No, you got Tottenham, Livy, Bristol City, and Queen of the South.
Alright, 4-2. Still 2. It's good enough.
That was good enough. Happy? Good.
Oh.
Right, okay. So is the producer, because it means we don't need to send that ball to London. Oh, he was panicking there, honestly. Oh, he was absolutely panicking. Right, 01419511025. There was a really lively discussion first hour about where teams are at in the race for the title in the top flight, and who's going to go unbeaten, who's going to go on and win the league and all the rest of it. So if you've got any thoughts, keep them coming, please. 01419511025. I am quite keen to talk Championship as well, because we just don't get the chance. We'd love to. It's a brilliant league. There's so many good stories in there. There are big clubs, there are wee clubs, there are teams doing brilliant things, and obviously Arbroath would be the fairy tale story at the moment. But all eyes, well, both sides of Ayrshire have got new managers, but one that we know particularly well in the top flight is Derek McInnes, and he will lead Kilmarnock for the first time tomorrow against Queen of the South. Obviously looking to make a winning start to life in Ayrshire. And here's what he had to say ahead of that one.
Well, no injuries of note in the last couple of days to report, other than obviously with the Lions and Naismith are both out. And obviously coming back into it, we're always that trepidation with COVID the way it is at the minute. So it's difficult to plot and plan everything. So we're trying to make sure that there's no dramas between now and kickoff. But looking forward to the game, looking forward to getting started. It's an opportunity for us to go and win 3 points, but well aware of the fact that nobody's going to give us them, as I said earlier.
Certainly an interesting appointment, Hugh. It's a big name, it's a big club, and a lot of attention will go to Rugby Park and see how they get on for the rest of the season.
Biggest name since Stevie Clark managed the club, and things have not gone well since Stevie went to take the national team job. I'm glad that Derek McInnes is back in the game. I think he is a managerial talent. There's no point in saying he only won one trophy in 7 years at Pittodrie. It was the first trophy they had won in 19 years. Trophies don't get won very easily at Aberdeen. There's a bit of a myth attached to them when it comes to trophy winning. So I think he's the right appointment. I think he's a good appointment. It's one that Kilmarnock have to get right. They must want to come up this season. I know Derek's got a contract that lasts until the end of next season, but they want to come up this season. Goes to Queen of the South. They lost 3-0 to Hamilton Accies last weekend at home. So everything points to a good start for Derek McInnes.
We'll get Kenny's thoughts very soon. Let's bring in Simon, who is a Kilmarnock fan. Before we get to the game tomorrow, Simon, are you happy with the appointment?
Yeah, hi guys, how are you doing? Hope you had a nice new year.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was absolutely delighted, a little pleasantly surprised, I think is the way I would use to describe it. Obviously, I called when Tommy Wright left and I wanted Jack Ross, and it became quite clear that that wasn't going to happen. But I would have loved Derek McInnes. If somebody had told me when Tommy Wright got fired that we would have been having Derek McInnes, I would have bit your hand off, but I wouldn't have believed you, but that you would have been interested. But then you start hearing people have dragged up old interviews and stuff when we played against Aberdeen in the Cup under Stevie Clark, and he was raving about the atmosphere at Rugby Park, saying it's the best he'd heard at Kilmarnock. And then his interview there when he got the job, he was talking about playing down here when Tommy Burns was the manager. And, he speaks about Kilmarnock with real fondness that I didn't expect. So you can understand he's obviously got a lot of respect for the club and a lot of respect for Billy and the owners, and it's a really ambitious appointment. I think it's one that, I'm surprised they made, but, pleasantly surprised.
What do you make of it, Kenny?
I think it's a really, really good appointment. I'm the same as Simon. Surprised in the respect that I think Derek has done a wonderful job since he's become a manager. Some good success, Aberdeen, like Hugh says. Trophies are no easy to come by for any team, by the way, never mind Aberdeen. It's like to go and win a league, it's always going to be tough for Aberdeen with the strength of Rangers and Celtic, but getting to the cup finals and the cup semi-finals that they did and losing so many of them to Celtic as well, and a very, very good Celtic team, I just think he's done a wonderful job, done a good job at St Johnstone as well. So it's a really, really big appointment in my opinion for Kilmarnock, a great appointment. And when you look at the league table, they're only 5 points off the top with a game in hand against Arbroath. There's definitely a league there to be won, and I'm sure Derek's looked at it thinking, if I can go in and get a bounce and get the response and get the players adjusting to how he wants to play and how he wants to work, there's a league to be going won there. So I think there's benefits on all sides.
You'll do business this month as well, Simon, won't you?
I hope so. We certainly need it. The squad that Tommy Wright built is okay. It might be good enough if we had a decent manager from the start. It might have been good enough to edge the title. But the position we're in just now, and the strength and surprise of our growth in particular, we need additions. I think the names that have been mentioned in the recent days, Stephen Kelly from Rangers, I think that'd be a fantastic signing. He's the kind of, that kind of energetic midfielder that we need. We've got no legs in the midfield. No offence to your, friend of the show, Stephen McGinn, who's a really good player, but he can't be playing alongside someone like Blair Alston, because for me, they just don't have the legs between them. Need a wee bit more oomph in the midfield. So I think we need that, a wee bit of creativity in the midfield, which he would provide as well, and somebody to play out in the left. I really hope that we give more game time to Charlie MacArthur, the young centre-half, 16 years old. He's played in the Challenge Cup games and he's been absolutely fantastic. I think he's a Scotland under-17s captain. He's a really, really bright prospect, and any time he's played, he's looked really good. So hopefully McInnes, he's had a track record of bringing through young players at Aberdeen, so hopefully that's another one. He gets a bit more game time, and I'm really hopeful. I think McInnes, it was Mark Wilson said that players will want to play for him. They'll be attracted to play for Kilmarnock. Maybe they'll think, not too interested in playing the Championship, but if they then, you know they're playing for a manager like Derek McInnes and, you know, a wee bit extra money, then I think we might attract a higher level of player than we expected to.
Kenny, I keep seeing that Stephen Kelly named mentioned, but not only with Kilmarnock, with a few clubs that seem to be reportedly linked with him. Would that be an ideal one for Derek McInnes to get up and running with?
Stephen's a very good player. He's had two decent loan spells in the last few years, one at Ayr, one at Ross County, I think, in the in the Premier League. Stephen's a very good footballer. I think everything that was said there on his abilities in terms of creativity, energy, really, really calm on the ball. Would have learnt a lot over the last few years, training with Rangers first team as well, under Stephen and under Gio. He would have learnt so much for these guys. Again, top midfielders, world class midfielders in their own right. So he can only learn for those guys. So I think any club, like you say, there's been a number of clubs mentioned with Stephen over the last two or three days. I'm sure he'll end up somewhere playing the first team, but I think Kilmarnock is a big club with title aspirations, so I think it would be a good fit maybe for both parties.
Football can be a petty business. Do you know that, Kenny?
Yeah, absolutely.
So having turned down Rangers, how would Rangers feel about doing business with the man who turned them down?
You know, I don't think that was, I think there was a real lot of circumstances surrounding Derek. No, I mean, if you look now, and again, you don't know the ins and outs yet, but it would have been a job where Derek would have, it might be a dream job, you know. So there was clearly circumstances surrounding that that led him to decide, no, that's not for me at this moment in time. Again, it's Stephen played for Ayr, you know, so they're also Kilmarnock's big rival. So there's a lot of backstories to it. But the end point is Stephen's a wonderful football player, and he would definitely improve any squad at that level.
Thank you, Simon. It's nice to speak to you. We will watch with interest tomorrow, big day in the Championship. We'll be all across it. Kilmarnock down at Queen of the South, Morton Dunfermline, Inverness, Raith, Hamilton Accies, Partick. Brilliant Championship game for us locally. And the story of the Championship this season, I'm sure Simon won't mind me saying, is Arbroath and the table topping Arbroath under Dick Campbell. So they're at Ayr United, who have appointed a new manager as well. Must be something in the
Lee
water.
Lee Bullen,
in Ayrshire at the moment. Lee Bullen is the new manager of Ayr, 50-year-old. Of course, you'll remember him having played for Dunfermline during his playing days. He's been down at Sheffield Wednesday. Is that someone you've come across at any stage, Kenny?
Yeah, a lot of times played against him when he was up in Scotland. Knew him a lot because I was good friends with a lot of the Dunfermline lads at that time, so I'd bumped into him a number of occasions. I was down at Sheffield Wednesday actually just at the middle of October, and I bumped into him there as well. Had a good chat with him there. So he's also been caretaker there as well at that level. I don't know if it's maybe more than once, to be honest with you. So he's been a coach a long time, and he's now kind of taking the plunge in his own right to be a manager up at Ayr, which I'm sure is an interesting project. Obviously they've made a lot of changes at that football club as well over the last few months, so it must be real positive talks, and he must feel he can go and really impact the club.
Can he just please take them to a cup final or something, so that the last guy to do it will shut up about it?
Well, you see, Lee's a smart guy. Did a course in journalism at one stage.
I thought you said he was smart.
No, he's one of us. So I shall look forward to his first press conference tomorrow, unless he has beaten Arbroath, then there'll be no press conference because Dick Campbell will have his hands round his throat.
01419511025. It can be Championship on your mind. It might be the top flight, the title race, the transfer window. Whatever it is, now is the time to share it.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. And just to fire more contact information at you, if you want to send a full time teaser in, which we're about to do, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. So this one's actually been sent in by Ryan in Wishaw. So thanks to Ryan for sending it in. He wants you to name, before Nathan Patterson, the last five to leave Rangers for England and the last five to leave Celtic for England. This list swings from blatantly obvious to, oh my goodness, I had forgotten all about this guy's existence. So
Christopher Ayer.
Yes, I should say the Celtic list is a bit easier.
Edward.
Look at you fighting over it. Okay, one more.
There we go. Rangers. No, we'll have to come back.
Rangers list is tougher. A lot tougher.
Is Hutton on it?
No,
that far back.
No. because we're not necessarily talking big money moves. We're just talking leaving Rangers to a club in England or leaving Celtic to a club in England. Ayer, Edward,
we'll Fraser Forster.
No, because he was only on loan that last time, wasn't he?
Ryan Christie.
Yes, I like your style. Just batter through all the easy ones.
Yeah.
So for Rangers, you're looking at squad players in the last couple of seasons, really.
Right, well, listen, don't have to press us on. You gave us a question. We've got three to ten within 10 seconds.
Just trying to help.
Come on
I'm
now.
Just trying to help. Right,
you're only upset because you had to pay a lot of money for your haircut.
I forget that. That's for another another day. Right, John is a Rangers fan on the line. John, what's your point tonight?
Hello.
How's it going?
I am fine. I was just kind of a backup shoe.
That's never a good place to be, John.
No, I know, especially the team I support. I'll take a bit of flack for that, but I'm quite happy with that. I was actually quite intrigued about Dominic's assertion in the transfer window. What I would say is, I think everybody's hanging their coats on these new signings. I'll tell you one thing, if the signings turn out like a jetty, and the rest, some of the other signings that we've made, the league will be on before they get a game.
And if they're as good as Kyogo?
If they're as good as Kyogo looks as if he's got hamstring like banjo strings. You know what I mean?
Decent player though, is he not?
He's a good player, don't be kidding, he's a good player, aye. When he plays and he gets a full game, and he's a good player. But it's a long season still to go, we've just entered the winter there now. Let's see what like is when he returns. And what you're forgetting and all is, I've also lost a couple of good players there. The boy Turnbull. I was a wee bit annoyed about the boy, the way he was treating Chu there. I thought he was actually quite disrespectful. You know what I mean? Chu's made an opinion there. What I would say about it, I've seen the guys like Dominic and that. You don't see them firing on when Chu is sticking up for their team near a day. I thought he was very disrespectful to an all-timer there.
Well, he's seen it all. Done
thanks
it before.
For that,
don't
John.
Worry, John.
I'll end it all by saying this. Dominic went on about the transfer window. A sensible man would wait until the end of the transfer window. But I think Dominic
comment is absolutely random.
I think Dominic has overlooked the fact that before the transfer window ends, Celtic have to play Hibs, making interesting signings under Sean Maloney. Not a gimme, even at Celtic Park. And then they're away to Hearts, where they have already lost this season. And then they have Dundee United. And they were fortunate against Dundee United at Celtic Park, because you know they could have conceded a penalty kick, but the referee missed.
This is the problem with predicting the future, because then you can say, yeah, but Dundee United are now not in good form, and Rangers go to Pittodrie as well
The general point is there are three games to be played by Celtic before the end of the transfer window. Point number one, I also made the comment that I did about Rangers not losing a game between now and the end of the season before the transfer window opened.
Oh, you've been banging that one for weeks.
I'm not interested in the transfer window and who signs who. I'm just saying before this transfer window ends, Celtic have to play Sean Maloney's Hibs, a Hearts team that they've already lost to at Tynecastle, and Dundee United. So 9 points to be played for before the window ends. And I do understand that Rangers have to go to Aberdeen and then they play Livy and Ross County. But I'm just saying that by the time the transfer window ends,
Livy, who went to Celtic Park and got a point and all the rest of it. See, we could do this all day. Let's ask John's thoughts on the transfer window so far. John, Patterson gone, James Sands in, lots of talk about John Souter.
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, again, it's hypothetical. You'll know who they're in the door. But while you're on the issue of the transfer window, and this is probably aimed at Dominic, just through the carry on with COVID, other signings, this transfer window they're rattling on about, you've got to ask yourself, would the signings the boys have brought in, would they have been ready to play in a full 90 minutes had the season not been suspended? So, although they were signed in time for to play the game, would they have been fit enough and ready to play on January the 2nd? So, I don't hear Dominic mentioning their good faith of getting the transfer window over the line by the time the next Rangers game comes round. So the three all these fancy signings are making, the transfer window should the game went ahead and proceeded, he's got to ask himself, with these signings that they've got in during this transfer window he's gone on about, would they have been ready and fit to play in such a magnitude of a game?
Why would they not be in Why does it matter, John? What do you mean? Why would that matter?
Do you think that the signings that they made, which bear in mind the transfer window, this is the point I'm making, the transfer window opened on the 1st of January. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the three signings that they made on the 1st of January, and I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, do you think that the three signings that they brought in on the 1st of January would have been prepared to play in an Old Firm game on the 2nd of January?
But with respect, that's a hypothetical question now.
Possibly not. I mean, I get the logistical side of it, but I just don't know what... That's just the way it is, isn't it?
Ange Postecoglou's good fortune is that he has had the Japanese players with him now, and the game is not until a week on Monday against Hibs.
Because they might miss that they might miss the Rangers game for international duty anyway. Yeah. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not to say that they'll definitely be available for that one when it comes around.
No, life begins again on the 17th of January. We can start arguing afresh on the 17th of January when the Premiership resumes. The issue of would they have been ready on January 2nd is inconsequential now, because we closed down early with the intention of trying to get people inside our football grounds by the time January 17 comes around. I hope that is the case.
Yeah, don't we all? Thank you to John. Let's bring in Robbie and see what's on his mind. Robbie, take it away.
Good evening, guys. Hope everybody's well. Kenny, Gordon and Hugh.
Thank you.
I've just had a wee look into Rio Hotate and the other guy,
Idiguchi. Yep.
Right. See the probability of them going away, and I'm not, Kyogo is more or less a definite to go away for the Rangers game. But see the two other players, the probability is that they will not go. Because Maeda has only had two appearances for Japan and Copa America. They were away back in 2019. Rio Hotate hasn't even had a game yet.
Yeah, he's got
no
caps, yep.
Yep, he's got no caps. So, barring injuries, the probability is they two will play. Now, I'm just going to point to the Rangers game and see at the moment, if I was to make a call on that game, I would actually be sitting a limb and say, I just couldn't call it at the moment. Obviously, everybody would love to make the calls away up, you know, 5 minutes before kickoff or an hour before kickoff when you get the teams. But the thing that really worries me, and I'm going to be honest about this, as much as I'm a Celtic fan, the thing that worries about me in making a call in that game is Kyogo and Jota not playing. Jota's probably going to miss a game. He might come back, you never know, but Kyogo is definitely going to miss that game. He'll get called up for Japan. Now, if we go away back to that game, the first Old Firm game that Rangers won at Ibrox, Kyogo was put out in the wing. He wasn't really effective, and he got put through the centre way, whatever it was, 25 minutes to go and half an hour to go, and Celtic looked a different type of threat. So see if Kyogo and Jota were definitely going to play in that game on the second or third.
Are you talking about Jota because he's been injured, or do you mean Rogic because he might be away with Australia?
I'm talking about Jota.
Right, okay.
Jota and Kyogo, Robbie,
what about Hibs at home? What about Hearts away?
If Robbie wants to talk about that game, he's more than entitled to talk about that game.
I do understand that this game, Rangers-Celtic or Celtic-Rangers, is the meaning of life here. However, there are 9 points to be played for Robbie
I don't think Robbie's saying that they're not important. He's just talking about that game without those players. Let's just take his point at face value.
Well, of course Celtic would be disadvantaged. I do think that Jota would be fit by then. That's been the word coming out of Lennox Town, that he could be fit by then. Kyogo, of course, if he's not there, big blow, but you don't know. Maeda may come in and be a first class replacement. But I do accept that in the case of Furuhashi, 100% of the Celtic support would rather have him there against Rangers than not have him there.
It's been a night of big predictions and outlandish statements, Kenny, but Robbie's probably brought a bit of sense where he says, how could you possibly predict that game at the moment? Even if we limit ourselves to Celtic, Kyogo plus three new Japanese signings
that we don't know anything about yet, by the way, and how they're going to impact
exactly
the team. Yep.
But I'm talking about availability.
Yeah, that's so am I. So whether they're available or not, we don't know how they're going to impact the team.
Tom Rogic,
big loss.
Is Jota back fit? David Turnbull, I think, probably not back fit.
Yeah.
So either all seven, you've got a scenario where all seven of them are available and play for Celtic, or all seven of them don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it's going to be a very interesting few weeks trying to find out who is and who isn't.
Well, again, the fact of the matter is we don't know how these new lads are going to settle in. So we can take them out of the equation. Whether they're available or not, we don't know how they're going to impact it positively or negatively. If Jota's missing, big loss. Kyogo's missing, huge loss. Rogic's missing, huge loss. So Turnbull on top of it again, another big loss. So it's not about a prediction. Like, for me, it's about looking at these as well. They're not facts as yet, but looking at the potential situation, whether they're fit or not. Rangers squad is pretty strong. I think they could be losing the lads in the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah,
but I still think their squad's strong enough to cope with that at the moment, more than probably what Celtic's is. So in terms of making prediction, you're right. You have to wait till you get to the game. You see who's available, who's not, how new players have settled. Are they going to be available or not? And then you can look at, if you need to make a prediction, you can give your opinion on what you think it's going to be. Again, I think Rangers are less affected at the moment by what everything that's going on with injuries with Celtic, with uncertainty about.
And also, if you're talking African Cup of Nations, you're probably only looking really at Aribo in terms of he, you know, would definitely play, and you would be desperate to have him for the game.
I think so, and I think Rangers can cope without him. I know he's been their most consistent performer, but we've touched on it numerous times on the show over through the course of the season. Rangers have got a strong squad. Are they going to be as good as Aribo and affect the game like he has? Maybe not. But there can maybe be slight tweaks, and I think people that are coming in, Arfields, I don't know where Jack is, Kamara's, I think they can all do a job.
Hadji, new signings,
in,
perhaps.
Know, potential new signings, yep, who knows? But I think they're more equipped to cope without Aribo.
Thank you, Robbie. Before Nathan Patterson, the last five to leave Rangers for England, and the last five to leave Celtic for England, you've got Ayer, Edward, and Christie.
Here's a Rangers one for you. Jordan Jones.
Oh. Done, Hugh Keevans. Whoa. You are on fire tonight after Beat the Pundit victory.
Wes Fotheringham.
Yes, Wes Fotheringham. Take one more.
Josh Windass.
No.
Just missed it.
Well, I'm looking at the time frame and I'm surprised. But yeah, I'll double check that one. So we'll leave it there. You're halfway essentially. You've got five of the ten. Right, a bit of a change of pace here. Now, you will know, we did it earlier on in the week. We had a brilliant, inspiring call from Kieran Burns, who joined us to talk about all things power chair football. Hugh,
yeah,
did you catch it?
Yeah.
Talked about the impact it had in his life and so on, and some brilliant feedback on that. And what we always try and do if there's a winter break or a bit of a quiet period for the top flight, we try and shine the spotlight on bits of Scottish football that just don't get the attention that they deserve. There's so much madness and drama with the top flight, and particularly in this city, so it's nice to give a bit of attention to areas of our game that really, really deserve it, because there's so many good clubs out there doing good things, whether it's at the elite level or grassroots or out in the community. We always try our best. So with that in mind, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the phone by Brian McLaughlin from Morton in the community. Brian, how's it going? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, all good. Thank you very much for having me on.
A pleasure. Now, Brian, I noticed that a project of yours called Team Talk was a recent winner of the Scottish FA's Best Para Football Project, their grassroots award. And I wonder if you could just, in your own words, describe a little bit what Team Talk is.
Yeah, of course. So Team Talk for us started in May 2019, and it took about 6 months to plan it, just because we decided to make a decision that we would open the stadium every Monday night from 7 to 9 o'clock for males to come and have a place to have a chat and ultimately just get stuff off their chest. And the biggest reason we done it was with some staggering stats. Number three, there are male suicide rates were the second highest in Scotland. So for us, looking at our fan base, looking at our community, we had to act, and thankfully we did. We opened the stadium, and we always said if one guy came along, it was worth it. We sat 2.5 years down the line, being online, being sitting outside at Capello, being inside Capello, and various other parts due to the COVID pandemic, but we're delighted it's still going along, and the guys are really helping each other and helping themselves.
Brilliant. Really good to hear that it's making an impact. And what type of impact has it made then? You'll have seen it all, I'm sure. What type of difference has it made to people who go along and take part?
Yeah, so the biggest
impact is when we do case studies with some of the gentlemen, they ultimately say it saved a life and give them a sense of purpose. So for us, if that wasn't there, unfortunately these guys might not be here. So that's the biggest impact for us. But other impact includes some guys have come off medication for mental health issues they face on a day-to-day basis. Some guys have changed jobs, for example. Some guys have come out of the house for the first time in a long time. And what we've also seen is they've really made friendships within the group. So some guys will go to cinema together, they'll go for a pint together, they'll do stuff that we didn't think would ever happen. So it's all these add-ons that's really helped save their life and change their life, which is a big part of it.
Is there any one or two, you know, people in mind that really spring to mind? And I'm not expecting you to name people, give their identity away or anything like that, but anyone that you think is a good example of exactly why you set up the group and exactly the sort of journey that you look to help people on?
Yeah, so there's two, and two of the guys who don't mind me mentioning, they came along to the Grassroots Awards at Hampden, so we invited them along, and one of them in particular, he highlighted that it changed his life in terms of he came off medication and he wasn't relying on taking tablets on a day-to-day basis. And the other guy who had done a positive case study on the local press, ultimately for him it said if it wasn't for the project he wouldn't be with us today. So that's the biggest benefit for him and us. But I think for him he was very insular and stayed at home quite a lot and he had a tough childhood, so he now comes out of his house, he goes to the gym on his own, he goes to different events on his own, and he's really a real shining light of how what a project can do for ultimately offering a cup of tea and a space to chat for people.
Is there something in the fact that us men don't like to face up to feeling certain ways and don't like to talk about it, Brian? Is that something you encounter?
Yeah, I mean, what we say to everyone who comes along or who expresses an interest is, look, come along. The hardest thing anyone's going to do on a Monday evening is walk through the gates at Capital or join a, even more difficult to join a Zoom call with people you don't know. But what we say is come along, it's relaxed. We don't sit with paperwork and start asking questions about their past and how they're feeling. It's all about get a cup of tea and a coffee. If you don't want to answer any of the questions, you can just sit and listen. And ultimately, through time, what we then see as staff is people really come out of their shell and start to engage in the group and become these more confident males in the community.
How can people get involved then if anyone's in the Inverclyde area, out and about near Greenock, and maybe this is resonating with them and they're feeling at a point where they would like to try and get some help? How can they get in touch?
So at present, we're very much home-based at the moment, but if anyone would like more information, they can email us at admin@mortoncommunity.net, or they can find us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, so that would just be Morton Community.
Brilliant. Brian, well listen, keep up the good work from all of us. We are very glad that you took the time to share the story. And I mean, Hugh, I think it's so easy to get caught up in the so-called negative sides of football, and it can be easy to forget just what a force for good it can be and how clubs go out and about in community, and people like Brian give up their time and the impact it can make.
I'm always astounded by the extent of the problem that Brian is describing. Every time I read the stats, the word why just comes into my mind. And therefore Brian and people like Brian who do something practical to address the situation deserve all the credit in the world, and wish him more power to his elbow.
Brian, brilliant. Hopefully, like I say, if even one person listens tonight and feels like getting in touch with Morton and the community, then maybe we've made just a tiny bit of difference. Thanks again. That was Brian McLaughlin sharing the inside track on Team Talk, which was a recent winner of the Scottish FA's Best Para Football Project. Like I say, when it's the winter break, we just like to try and give a bit of attention to bits of Scottish football that deserve it and don't otherwise get the coverage that they would like. So thanks once more to Brian. Just before we move on, any more on this teaser, you two?
Cham?
Yes.
Shrug?
I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. That has flown by. Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here and they're trying to come up with the answers to Ryan from Wishers teaser. Full time at Clyde1.com. You make the questions up, the pundits try and come up with the answers, and that's the way it works. So he wanted to know tonight, before Nathan Patterson, the last five to leave Rangers for England and the last five to leave Celtic for England. Now, before the break, I think you had Ayer, Edward, Christie, Jones and Fotheringham, was it?
And in Sham.
Which you quite rightly pointed out, Swansea is not
England.
But you get the trick. Come on, English football.
Listen, I'm getting ready to put the thumbs behind the cardigan.
Go on then.
Okoflex at Celtic.
It's a great shout.
Went to West Ham.
Brilliant, well done. Okay, that's you've got Celtic's five. You've got Jones, Jordan Jones and Wes Fotheringham at Rangers. Kenny, I'll take one more guess.
Greg Docherty.
Yes, Greg Docherty. Okay, we'll get the remaining two before the end of the show. I'm absolutely certain of that. Let me just check. We've not missed any breaking transfer news tonight, have we? Nothing in the last few minutes. I don't think so. Nothing since that Liam Shaw move to Motherwell. Interesting to see what all clubs do during this break here. I've seen people, you know which part of the world I'm from, mention that Liam Shaw looks like a good player. Did Motherwell need another midfielder? That Robbie Crawford has signed for Partick Thistle tonight though. He's gone there. Big question marks about Tony Watt. Does he end the window still at Fir Park or not?
No. I don't think so. I think that there has to be one sensible resolution to this. You can't have Tony being there like a massive distraction when Motherwell have got things to do, and Dundee United at the same time are crying out for a goal scorer. So it seems a no-brainer to me. Not a sensible man I may be, but it's a no-brainer even for not a sensible man.
Can you get that printed on the back of your cardigan?
I'm coming for you, Dominic. I'm coming for you.
Not a sensible man. Oh dear. Kenny, what's your own take on it? You've seen it all in terms of transfers and pre-contracts, whether it was you or teammates, and do you need to try and find a solution, particularly when it's in the same league?
I think sometimes it makes sense. I've seen it go both ways. It's them finding a sensible resolution towards the end that suits all parties. Again, but that's what it needs to be. It needs to suit all parties. There's no doubt if Tony Watt's in the right frame of mind, he's going to be of a benefit to Motherwell moving forward to the end of the season and what they're hoping to achieve. The same can be said about I'm going to Dundee United, he'll definitely be a benefit there. Hopefully they'll be looking to probably push and get into the top six. So he's a wanted man, which is good for Tony Watt. What the resolution will be, who knows? It'll be decided by Tony, and I'll also be for me, it'll be Graeme Alexander and Motherwell to see what where, and I'm sure there'll have been discussions and surrounding it about where he's actually at. Does he want to go at the moment? Does he want to see it through? I'm sure he would probably prefer to go now and get started in his new club as soon as possible.
Can I hear you bleeping the Nokia 6 minutes before we finish the show? It's not, you usually wait until the end.
I know.
Is it big transfer news you want to bring us?
No, I was afraid the wife had called me.
All right, okay. I'll let you away with it. Scott is a Rangers fan from Falkirk. What's your point tonight, Scott?
Hi all, how are you doing? Happy New Year.
Same to you. Are you well?
I'm not bad.
Good.
How are you?
Good man. Not bad at all. Apart from, well, we won't start the sensible man over here. But what's your point tonight anyway?
No, my point is, I think he was on the money. I think the Rangers are on a point where we don't really need to bring anyone in. Maybe a right back or a striker. But from our squad, I mean, we've got Fashion Sakala, Roof, we've got Morelos, striker. And we've also got, for defence, I mean, Tavernier, Balogun, Hollander, Barisic, Bassi. And I think you hit the nail on the head, as I said, that we've sold Patterson for $12 million. Now, that's a record fee. Now, you look at that, Rangers don't need to sell any players, as I said. We don't, because we're now in a position where it doesn't really matter what Celtic bring in. We're a league-winning team now. So we're in a position where it doesn't really matter what Celtic do. I think we're going to win the league. We're 6 points clear. We're essentially 22 games into the season, because two games are free. I mean, we've got two Old Firms, right enough, but at that, I mean, we've not got any fans, and we play a lot better without any fans anyway. I mean, what do you think?
I don't believe it's important whether there are fans there or not. I believe it's important that the strength of Rangers squad and the solidity of their results and performances under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, those are the most important factors. But, Scott, I understand my position here. I say what I think, and if I am wrong, I get pelters. If I am right, I'll give it back to Dominic for calling me someone who wasn't sensible when the time comes.
Unbelievable.
But we'll wait. That is my opinion. I just believe there is a strength and a momentum about Rangers that will take them to the title.
This is the new Celtic should have signed John McGinn.
Yeah.
This, once you get something in your mind, you just...
Surely it should, though.
Yeah, you haven't mentioned it before. Scott, John Souter, rumours, what do you make of them? Is he a player you like?
I mean, I can understand why they've gone from... I mean, I know his mum's a season ticket holder at Ibrox as well.
Is she?
So I can understand, I mean, really wanting to close down on him. But again, I would say again, we don't really need him. If I'm honest, I don't think we really need him.
By the way, I have no idea about that. I thought the Souters were all big Brechin fans, actually. That's where they're from. And I know John, I'm sure he was a Brechin fan
when
he
was young.
I don't know, listen. And I'm not sure that will have any bearing one way or the other. Kenny, how good do you think he is? Because I feel like everyone who's ever worked with him just really, really praises him. Everyone mentions that were it not for injuries, he could well be at a higher level, with no disrespect to Hearts, than he already is. What about his game and where do you think he's at level-wise?
I still think there's a lot of development in him. And he's 25 now, had a few bad injuries over the last couple of seasons, but I think his performances, you know, just to go on to Scott, like I'd say, I don't think we need John Mill. It's not necessarily even about now, it's moving forward into next season, because centre back has been a problem area for Rangers this year, who plays alongside Goldson, and now you might not have Goldson next year. So you're trying to, you're preparing, you know, you're actually being forward thinking, you're trying to prepare for maybe Connor not being there. There has been issues obviously with injuries for Hollander. Katic just went on loan. Bassi's done great, by the way.
See the Katic thing the other night. You've seen all sorts of club politics over the years, I'm sure. James Sands got 19, the shirt number. That was Katic's number. Is that a sign of anything?
No, it's not a great sign for Katic in terms of coming back. Is a squad number a big thing for him? Who knows? You know, I wouldn't imagine so. But there has been issues at centre back, so that's why I go, is John Souter guaranteed to be a Ranger starter and a top Ranger signing? He's absolutely not. But what he's doing is he's performing at a really good level in our league. Like I said before, all the risk factors, I think you can almost eliminate them all in regards to what he's doing, where he's doing it. He's first hand, he's an international, he's potentially a free signing in the summer. Well, there's a free signing in the summer. He might cost a nominal fee at the moment if Hearts were willing to do business on it. So I just think there is a value to signing John Souter. And I do think Rangers need a player in that position. If it's John Souter, I think it would be a decent signing at this time for Rangers.
Scott, thank you. That was Scott in Falkirk on 01419511025. I think we'll leave it there with regard to the phones, because I don't want to squeeze one in and then get rid of you after a minute or so. I must say, Hugh, looking forward to tomorrow. Yeah. I don't just say it for dramatic effect. It would be nice to be able to give equal attention to all clubs and all stories and all leagues and all levels. We just can't do it. It's impossible. And as much as we'd love the top flight to be here, and we'd love it in front of fans and have all the drama that goes along with that, it will be a good chance for us to focus on the Championship. And there are some brilliant games, some brilliant stories in there.
Top five could all go up. The bottom five could all go down. It's an amazing league. And obviously the arrival of Derek McInnes gives it added strength in terms of its profile. He will be very keen to get an away win at Queen of the South. I'd say that's essential to Derek going forward. Dick Campbell, the amazing Dick, and his brother Ian will be at Ayr United, with Lee Bullen hoping to have his first managerial game at Ayr, a winning one. So it's just a great day. I'm looking forward to it.
There can't be many neutrals out there that don't want Arbroath to get promoted, surely.
Yeah, because it's such a fairy tale story. A story that you think in the 21st century cannot happen. This windy ground right beside the river, a part-time
the
team
sea, not the river.
In a full-time environment, and they are carrying all before them. And Michael McKenna, I got you wrong in the Beat the Pundit, but all credit to you as well, top goal scorer in the Championship. And Michael McKenna will be the first name they're looking for to score at Somerset Park tomorrow.
No, I did say neutrals. I know all the Partick Thistle fans are listening, and Hamilton Accies and everyone else, they probably don't care if our both got up, they would rather it was their team. So I do accept that. But it's going to be an interesting day. We are back tomorrow from 2 p.m. You've got two more to get on this teaser.
George Edinson.
Yes.
And the last one, we need initials, I think.
There was an, you definitely were there at the same time as him.
Okay.
And it was a sort of ongoing joke that he was going to be back fit in 10 days time, and he never was.
Pens down. Jordan Rossiter.
Jordan Rossiter. Oh. There we go. Would you have got that, Hugh?
Not in a million.
I didn't think so. Thank you very much, Kenny Miller, Hugh Keevans, and of course to you for your calls, your tweets and your company. You can stay right there Friday night. The place to be. GBX up next, and we are back tomorrow from 2.